So, Krishna, let us start with Jai Radha Madhava, and then we will have our first session. Now that all of you are together, I really have to say, I'm so happy to deliver this. The Tree of Life and living in Sattva, I have delivered now in some places of the world. One was Australia. It went extremely well. We had some government people in the Tree of Life presentation. They became so much inspired that they wanted to present this to the government. And as a result, they want to present it to the government, and now they are enthusiastic to sponsor a university. Imagine a spiritual university on the Mugavadam farm, because they feel here some very important contribution from the spiritual side to the education of people in general. They were just so university dean was there, and some secretaries of state were there. They were just so impressed. And already the Tree of Life is now, the module is written for children, so that it will be applied in the school. You have called the Bhaktivedanta School, which is teaching people, and then according to government standards, they have to pass a test which is supplied by the government, but it is a spiritual school where many people, children come who are not devoted children. It's a little bit like the Avanti School, really. And they are developing the Tree of Life model. I need to speak with James about his input, because he's one of the original. James and I just woke up from sleep, so. Oh, Naveen, over ahead. Naveen Krishna. They are. I've given some advice, we've talked about it, and it can run now in Australia. It's very nice. And I owe a debt to all of you, because you were really the first ones to whom I presented this. I needed something which is very easy to capture for the Pandava Senas. It was clear to me it shouldn't be too abstract and too theoretical. So we need something which we can work, run our life by. And then, out of desperation to make you understand sattva, somehow Krishna brought this Tree of Life model to me, and then I presented it with great enthusiasm, and you appreciated it, and together really we worked on this. So the success of the Vedic way as it unfolds is really your success as well, because by your feedback, by your enlightened glances and your bored glances, both, you know, the good feedback and the critical feedback, I'm growing in this. So today we will take on the Dharma module in all earnestness, and I think you will look interested. The subject of this presentation for the next 2.5 days is Live in Your Dharma. I would like to really start by telling you a little bit about my own relationship So this subject matter, as Buddha Bhavana said, and I'm researching at this on this since a long time. But beyond all this research, I have a very existential role, a relationship with this idea of Dharma, because it saved my life at different times during my service. Many of you know me by now. My name is Sachinandan Swami. I've just come from a project in Goloka Dham, where we've celebrated Nityananda Trayodashi in a really big way. I'm traveling through on my way to Mayapur, where the devotees have requested me to lead them in the Mayapur Kirtan Mela. I'm very... but if it's up to me, I'm really here just because of this Dharma module. It's very important for me because it's something very, let me say, vital to my life, as I said. And it is my first time really being presented to an audience. It has grown inside my heart since 14 years, and it now will burst out, hopefully, like the lava of a volcano. But it will not burn you, it will empower you. I'm very happy that Navin Krishna Prabhu is with us, because I spoke with him a few times about my vision of the Vedic way, and he has, in his very kind way, a very thoughtful way, and always assisting way, and encouraged me, and you will see he has a big part in the seminar, because his own book, The Dharma of Capitalism, I believe, is bestseller, so I'm feeling a little nervous here before the authority. I'm also happy that James, who is our teacher and who knows many things and is now trying to inculcate, is in a project of Cambridge, I understand. Have you started already? Where the university looks seriously at ways to bring spirituality to the educational field. I'm very happy. But I do have a challenge, because I can't present to you everything. It's 120 something pages and a lot of things in the Dharma library which is made. So I can only give you a taste, but I have made it so compact that I think it will empower you very much. But first, I want to reveal something of my life story, because you will then understand how important Dharma is for me. Many of you know this, that I was born in this life in a very affluent German family. My father is one of the managing directors of the German railway system. It's called Die Bahn, the train. The train system. When you go over the autobahns of Germany and go over the bridges, most probably my father has something to do with building them. Although he's now 89 years, this year he will turn 90, his advice is still thought all over the world. For instance, in 2011, I wrote this down, he was invited by the government of China. Why? Because they wanted to have a transport system like the Germans for their evolving industry. Now, you know, my father obviously expected me to go into his footsteps and to also become a successful money man. Forgot to say the railway, the train system, the traffic system in Germany is privately owned. It's not a government business. So it's a lot of Lakshmi. Thus I was sent at an early age to one of these drill schools, I call them now. It was a prestigious private school and was prepared for life of management. But no matter how hard my teachers tried, and initially I also tried, I always felt that the life of my father was not meant for me. When I would enter this huge building in the center of Hamburg, when my father had a huge office with a lot of secretaries, I felt I was entering prison. It felt like this, that I wanted to get out of it. Mathematics teacher, is it called? Mathematics teacher. Mr. Becker was a war camarade of my father, and he was very good at mathematics, and he tried to train me, but privately he once said, "It seems when I'm teaching your son," he said to my father, "he only waits for the pause bell to ring." He's sort of absolutely out of place in the life you want to prepare him for. And he was right. I was so terribly bored with this. And as a result, I got embarrassingly bad notes. It was embarrassing. I would only come to the next class by the power of money, bribes which my father desperately paid to the school. I was so bad, you can't imagine. I was put to an intelligence test. What is wrong with this boy? The intelligence test said he's beyond average so intelligent, but what didn't work? I always had the feeling this life which I was being prepared for was like walking in a pair of shoes which was two numbers too small. Just very painful. Wherever, whatever I would do in that type of life was like was walking in these painful or pain-giving shoes. Wherever I would go, I would feel pain. No matter how nice the scenery would be, the money I would earn, the reputation, I knew it was like being in Hawaii with two numbers two, with shoes two number two, too small. I would feel pained by the experience. It was only years later when I met Srila Prabhupada where it became very clear to me what was wrong. I liked money, I liked prestige at that time, but I could not find myself in this place of a managing director, nor in the activities that he needed to do. Prabhupada told me in his room, "You are a teacher like me. This is what you are, a teacher. This is your dharma. But first," he said, "you have to become a good student. First, a good student." He told me this personally into my face. Wow, Hare Krishna. Since that time, I met Prabhupada and he just told it into my face because I was so, I didn't know what to do with my life and where was my place also in Krishna consciousness. I just thought, I'm not an eternal dishwasher. This I can't do. I will do it now. And I'm not a book distributor either, although I went to book distribution, did all this, I think you call it rolling, to perform in a roll and find out how you are. It became clear to me, the Prabhupada said that my Dharma is something else. And since Prabhupada recognized my own Dharma and engaged me in it, I have answers to the big questions of my life. Why am I here? What is my purpose? And when I am gone, when I die, what do I want to leave behind? And these answers come from a deep place inside of me, my Dharma. My dear devotees, my dear friends, and all of those who will hear the recordings later, Dharma is one of the most powerful forces in life, and one who is connected with his or her Dharma will find unique gifts in his life which God has placed on his path just for him to discover. We will hear when we enter the Dharma module in seriousness what is the result of living in one's Dharma. But I just want to tell you from my experience, my life has not been rosy. I am from, as I said, my history is black. My father's history is not nice. He became very well known in Germany for what he did in the traffic system, but before that he was known for something else, which is a dark spot in our family, his participation in the Nazi crimes which were done. Like all of us, I have also erred in my life. I made many mistakes and was confused at times. But whenever I visit my life now, from where I stand now after Prabhupada revealed my Dharma to me, whenever I revisit my life, I can see the pain and the confusion and the unfulfillment arose whenever I left the path of my Dharma, even slightly. And whatever confusion and problems were in my life, it seemed to disappear magically like fog when the sun of my Dharma again rose in my life. And so in this seminar, I'm committed to give you a practical understanding about the universal principles of Dharma, how this cosmic force works and what it could mean for your own life. And further, I wish to present to you practical tools that will help you to find your own Dharma and thus be in the place of your own strengths. The Dharma module is taught not just in three or four sessions. It takes a lot of time, and we have Dharma counselors who are trained in psychology and coaching to help people find their Dharma if it is a little bit more difficult than, or if it's not, you know, if they need advice or help if they can't do it on their own. But here I will give you some things which can work immediately, something to get you started. But I wish to also say, to live in your Dharma will be a lifelong project. Just like me, you will see when you leave the path of your own Dharma, life will get out of sync. But if you find your Dharma and discover it again, as it evolves, you will be very, very, very happy. Krishna, this is my own commitment. I wanted to just share with you why I'm here, why I like this subject matter very much. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Now we have to see. I will now explain to you what is it, what Dharma exactly is, then we will make a little pause, then we will have another session, then we make another pause, then we have another session. Let me just ask you, how are you? You look like typical Pandava Senas, totally overworked and not rested and not slept well and totally out of your tree of life. or is it all right? Is this Ganesha, Priya, or Krishna? How are you? Do we need to do exercises? Maybe we do. What do you think, Naveen? You arrived at 12 o'clock and then you couldn't sleep because it was new beds and all of this. Is it right? Why don't we make some powerful energizing movements? Yes? I really don't like to do this with devotees. You are all devotees. I'm very free with the non-devotee audience. I think we should do, no? I also feel. Ladies and gentlemen, you must know that by our karma, each one of us is placed in this universe in a very, very particular life situation. Our physique is unique, the way we look. The way we think is unique. The way we respond to things which happen to our life is unique. We are so unique, each one of us, that our fingerprint is so rare that there's only one fingerprint like yours. That's your own fingerprint. No one else has the same fingerprint as you. Do you know this? That's why when you come to America and they want you to give an identification, the fingerprint is enough. Because by that fingerprint, we know. So we all have a very unique situation. Shouldn't our life be also unique to us? Do you think a life where you're pressed in one form, the way the industry needs you, will be your own life? No. It must be your life. The Greek philosopher Platon expressed it like this: there's one place which only you can fill, nobody else. And there's something which waits for you to do, which only you can do. Why then live the life of somebody else? And good point, no? So, what he alludes to is what we call dharma, your own place in life, your unique mission in life, your unique, you're really your own life. Dharma is an ancient concept. It comes from the Sanskrit root tri, which means that which supports or upholds. Dharma transcends any particular religion and also goes beyond the aspiration in people to do the right thing. Dharma is more the underlying essence of existence. It's the omnipresent power of the natural law. To give you a simple example, this fire here, left and right of you, it has a dharma, a unique way of expression. and that it is a pot and it burns and so on. And that, in philosophy, you would say that so sein, Kant used to say this so being is the direct translation of this philosophical concept, the so being of that fire that is its Dharma. The Dharma of water, Prabhupada says, is that it is liquid, and the Dharma of the soul is that it is a servant. There are three types of Dharma. Dharma in relationship to oneself, which relates to finding one's own place and meaning for one's life. Then there is Dharma that's called Svadharma. Then there is Dharma in relationship to others, which defines how to think, act and talk in our relationship to people, and also how to act towards the inanimate world, you know, the world of objects. So Dharma in relationship to myself, where's my place, what's my activities. Dharma in relationship to others, how to act dharmically towards them. And then there is Dharma in relationship to the spiritual reality. That is that type of Dharma which speaks about our spiritual essence as a soul and our relationship to the Supreme. Is that clear or do I go too fast? Is it, you are all intelligent, thing. So, there's a specific Dharma for everyone. This is the main point here, including humans, animals, plants, and even molecules. The Dharma makes us the way we are. In the huge clockwork of the universe, you know, where one thing says the other, each one finds his place. And once you have found your own Dharma, it is amazing. You will find the whole universe galloping. Galloping means moving forward with a hurry to come to your help. It's almost the moment a little clock wheel is in the whole system. The whole system supports the individual thing. Or to give you another example, which I gave in the past, the moment these attractive little bulbs here, which you see, it's a new invention of Pandavasena. This morning, you remember, we didn't know what was coming. And then Abhishek went on the stage and he connected the individual bulbs with a huge electricity which is somewhere generated near Swindon, I believe, and the whole thing woke to life and gave this most amazing light which looks like a mixture of discotheque and the British flag, you know, which in the night went to the sky to just detect the German bombers, you know. a good example. Once you are probably in your, if this bulb would be rolling on the floor near Jai Krishna, it wouldn't give any light because it would not be connected. In the same way, if you are rolling about in your life without being connected with your Dharma, you don't give any dharmic light. Your life is without a purpose, and so on. It's a simple example which can help you understand. The moment a light bulb gets connected with its socket and with the whole system, it warms up and spreads light. Until that moment, it remains cold and has absolutely no splendor. Therefore, the Vedas proclaim, Sthanam Pradhanam. It's really like an encouragement to all of us. Sian Sundar, Hare Krishna, you give pleasure to our eyes. Sanam Pradhanam means one who has found his place in his Dharma moves forward with strength. Pradhanam. If you have found your place or your Dharma, you move forward with strength. Not necessarily your own strength. And Yudhishthira says, Yato Dharma stato jaya. Where there's Dharma, there's victory. The explanation is very simple. When you are in your Swadharma, that's an important term, it means your specific Dharma, you are connected and empowered by this cosmic force, the Dharma. Thus the Manu Samhita informs us, our Buddha Bhavana, our Pandit has told us, Dharmo Rakshati Rakshitaha Dharma eva hato hanta. It means one who protects his Dharma is protected by Dharma. One who hurts his Dharma is hurt by Dharma. Hare Krishna. There is one problem I want to tell you about finding your Dharma. It's your wrong value system. We often think in life, I want to have opulence, recognition, money maybe, a position, and I do this. But the dharmic approach is, I want to first be what I am, I want to be in my right place, then I want to do the right activities which come from this, and from that I will have contentment. But here, in this merchandise society, everyone thinks about having things and not being in their place, in their right place. And this screws the Dharma search up. I told some of you, I forgot when, my experience in Berlin, one of our rich friends had given me an apartment where I would be when I where I would be when I would come back from my tours. I would live in the temple, but I would work in this apartment to do write all the letters and to do everything. And every evening that something happened which I would like to tell you. The apartment in this huge villa next to mine was the apartment of his daughter, Dorothea. Dorothea came back at around 6:30. I would hear how she opened her apartment and closed it. Then I heard the sound of beautiful violin playing. And after some time, only 10 minutes, it became like heavy metal violin playing. Then she started to scream. Then the next thing I heard, furniture being thrown against the walls. I tolerated this for 1 week, and then one evening, she had just come back, I knocked at the door and said, Dorothea, are you going to do your big act again? Why? I hear every day the same thing. You go inside, you play violin, it becomes a real disturbance. You and then you start to throw your furniture around. What is wrong with you? What is wrong? Oh, she said, I wanted to become a violinist. My parents said, this will not bring you any money. You will not have any money. Become a doctor.
I became a doctor. I'm well paid. But it's not me. And I became, so every time I come home, I play violin. Then as I play violin, I remember my parents destroyed my life by forcing me to become a well-paid doctor. I become so, so mad that I look at my apartment. Everything is here. Look at the walls. I threw the furniture out. And I'm so frustrated in life. This is the situation of many, many of you. Not you. The people, normal people. Because of a wrong value system, I have to have money, I have to have position, you are not doing what you're meant to do. There is one, Martin Luther King, who did a Krishna warns us of this wrong behavior. He says, it is far better to follow one's own dharma, even imperfectly, than to follow another's dharma perfectly. For to follow another's path is dangerous, even dangerous. I must say, I always appreciated Martin Luther King. When I was in Atlanta, there was a Martin Luther King exhibition, and I noted down, I was at the airport, and I just happened to pass through, I noted down a saying of him. He said, about the glories of being in one's dharma, he said, if a man, you know how they speak, if a man, as politicians, is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted, you know, okay, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. He says, better be in your dharma, better be in your dharma. If your dharma happens to be a street sweeper, you will be content, it will be a glorious life. You will be as glorious as Shakespeare, Michelangelo, Beethoven, who had other poetry, music, and paintings in their dharma, making paintings in their dharma. So when you want to enter the life of Dharma, when you want to live your Dharma, you must say goodbye to this value system which we have all imbibed in our system, where we try to have something, have money, have beauty, have influence, and kill ourselves by leaving our natural dharma. This is very important for me to say right at the outset, that in this dharma module, you need to enter a different value system in order that the be, do, have value system, which is a sattvic value system which we have learned already in the sattva module. That I can't explain now. You have to come to the whole life school. It's like a university. But you must enter the be, do, have value system. I want to be at my place. I want to be the person I am. I want to be that unique person which I was created for. That is most important. Who cares for money? That's boring. And you will see, if you go be, do, have, you will have whatever you need. Because he who finds his dharma will be taken care of by dharma. Now, there is no person who ever was in his dharma who had to stop. It's not possible. It doesn't work. our beloved scripture, Bhagavad Gita, invokes this concept by saying, Dharma Chetra Kuru Chetra. The first word of the Bhagavad Gita, Dharma, it is famous for teaching us our own unique place, Swadharma. Arjuna was the example, and teaching us more important, even our eternal dharma, sanatana dharma, and relationship to Krishna. Now I want to end this session with two things. I want to tell you a little story. Yesterday I promised in the car, Sunil drove us very nicely. We drove so nicely, so swiftly we drove, so securely we drove, with good light inside, everything was available in Sunil's car, and we discussed, and I promise tomorrow I will tell you a story which will make you laugh and which will make you cry. Here it is, fresh for you. Hare Krishna. Abhishek, you ready?
Yes.
Good. Dear God, once upon a time, this is how a good story starts. The animals came together to organize their first Olympic game called Fowlympics. Fowlympics, like fauna. Fauna means animals. Because it was a very new venture, only five areas of competition were chosen: running, swimming, digging, climbing, and flying. All types of species were equally allowed to participate, but this was special. Everyone had to compete in all these five areas. It was like a triathlon, but it was a three means. Punch out long, you know. So, running, swimming, digging, climbing, and flying, yes. So the rabbit was the first to start. As expected, he did exceptionally well in running, but achieved only poor results in the other disciplines. When he tried to fly, in the opinion of some of the jury, he did also well by jumping very high. But the jury was split on this because the other said, this doesn't count really as flying, it was jumping. He did this already when he ran. But it looked very heavy. Then the duck started after him. It was a different case. It did exceptionally well in swimming and flying. But when it came to digging the earth, the duck looked so ridiculous that everyone who was in the stadium broke out in hysterical laughter. He went with the beak and did the earth. The next to try was the wild boar. It started by digging the ground. Wonderful, everyone exclaimed as the clumps of earth were flying left and right. The boar also ran almost as fast as the rabbit. Swimming went fine, but when it tried to fly, it went up a hill and took a leap. It fell so badly that the doctor had to be called. Mm-hmm. Now, up to this stage, the eagle, who's after all the king of the sky, had looked with some reservation. He didn't know if he should participate or not. But then the boar failed in flying, he thought, I can do better, and his pride was awakened, and he was flying. He took to the sky and flew so fast and elegantly that everyone on the ground applauded. He then tried his best in digging the earth, And then it's swimming and running, but no matter how much effort he put into these disciplines, the results were simply not convincing. Still, everything would have been fine if there would not have been a grave problem. When it tried, the eagle tried to climb up the tree, he felt just so out of place that he, in great frustration, just jumped from wherever he was and flew in the sky. And the last thing the animals heard from him was his frustrating scream. He said everyone should do what he's best in. Everyone should just follow his dharma. Point is clear. An obvious message is you need to find your dharma. Then you will stand out amongst the many. Dharma is really not a lifeless concept, but it breathes life in everything which you do once you are in a dharma. And therefore, Valmiki in the Ramayana opens his arms and says, from dharma comes prosperity. Only from dharma flows happiness. From dharma comes self-realization. By dharma, everything is attained. Dharma is the essence of this world. So I would like to now read a little something to you, which I call the fruits of dharma. It's how you feel when you are in your dharma. And as I read this, you can check how dharmically you are. I will ask Ravi to go up. I would like to make this a little bit like a meditative exercise. Not really, we will do a lot of meditation, but here just may I request you to sit, to put your notepads or the electrical telephones and so on his side, because I would like to now take you a little bit to into an exercise where you should yourself find out if you are in your dharma right now, if you are maybe approaching your dharma, if you are just miles and light years away from your dharma maybe. I have gone through our scriptures and find out, studied the life of people who were in their dharma and the lives of people who were not in the dharma. Then I compared it with how people feel at their workplaces, and compared quite an interesting list from this, which I will read it to you, and then I will ask you to turn to a neighbor and discuss this. Maybe you can sit peacefully so that you don't look at someone who has gone and uses the facilities. I'm sorry, maybe I shouldn't. Are you ready? It's
so nice to see you, Ganesha Priya. You are so pleasant this morning. Very nice. I think Ganesha Priya, who is a presenter, and he likes to see someone else present. I will just read something to you and you just let the sentence work on you. When you are in your Dharma, you feel you lead a meaningful life which totally satisfies you. When you are not in your Dharma, you wonder if what you do has any meaning to you, and whatever you do, you are never quite satisfied. When you are in your Dharma, you do not just do well in an activity, you just can't imagine to not do it. When you are not in your Dharma, you are not sure if you should be doing this at all, what you are doing. When you are in your Dharma, mostly it is the people, circumstances and arrangements come into your life effortlessly and help you. And whenever you are not in your Dharma, most of what you do is a struggle. When you are in your Dharma, your gifts and talents come to your aid so that you have the strength to easily accomplish your work. When you are not in your Dharma, whatever it is that you are doing, you seem to only accomplish it with great effort, and it seems never good enough. When you are in your Dharma, you take wise risks because you trust fully in the maxim, one who acts in his Dharma is protected by Dharma. It can't go wrong. I'm a teacher. I will try this now. It can't go wrong. It's a risk, but it sits my Dharma. When you are not in your Dharma, you are always fearful of disaster that will strike. You have always images of the worst case scenarios in your mind. There is a huge list. I won't do all the list. But I will go now to something very, very thought-provoking. Last point. When you are in your Dharma, you are generally in good health. And if illness does come, you somehow can deal with it. When you are not in your Dharma, you are constantly getting ill and you don't know what's wrong and how to get well. See, it's dangerous to be not in one's Dharma. Krishna had said that in the Gita. To follow another Dharma, that means to not be in my own Dharma, is dangerous. Dangerous to the extent that people first have an uneasy feeling in life. That's mostly the case. I've also spoken with many Pandava Senas, which, as you know, and they all express, "Oh, Maharaj, there's an uneasy feeling." That's the first morning which comes. If you ignore it, which most of you do, then you get an illness. If you ignore that and still don't make changes in your life, you get a chronic disease. If you ignore that also and don't change in your life and go to the Dharma, my dear people, you will have an accident. And if you ignore that, you will have a death. And if you ignore that, you have another birth. And the whole blows continues, that Ati Dharma, that I have not found a Dharma. We should actually make a blues. I have not found my Dharma. So miserable. I would like to now, where this is fresh, I request you to turn to your neighbor ji, man to man, and just anyone is good enough. Mataji is the Mataji. One of the Dharmic principles is honesty, and I request you to connect with this now. I request you to remember a time in your life, a very specific time that means something which you did during this time, or where you were placed during this time. I will actually team up with Bhuta Bhavana and describe to your neighbor a time and an activity where you really did excellently well. And what is more important than this is describe the feelings which you had at that time. How did it feel? How was it for you? It can be anything. It can be something, your Swadharma here in this world, maybe an activity. It could also be when you discovered your Sanatana Dharma and became involved in Krishna consciousness in all seriousness. I request you to remember a specific event. It must be specific, I joined the university and I felt blissful. No, it should be, I joined the university, I took my first course in psychology, and I felt just that I found something which totally interests me. Or you could say, I would say, for instance, the first time I felt it was I had come with the devotees out. I had been in great turmoil because my parents had so much pressure on me that I performed well in this management school. And I, as I described to you, I felt like being in prison and being miserable. And then I came to the devotees and I didn't know, they were so different, they came from a different social background than me. But then they said, let's go out on Harinam Sankirtan. I said, yes, let us do that. And I went with them and we started to sing. At first I was very self-conscious, I remember, because so many people were. I was with these strange people, Mr. Förster came by. I tell you another time. Who was Mr. Förster? And I felt so bad. But then I said, "No, I'm participating fully." So I started to chant and dance and then I found out that's me. I like to sing, I like to be loud, but in God consciousness, I like to dance, and I felt so empowered because a connection had been made. The light bulb finally was in his socket, and I felt a tremendous power of Sanatana Dharma in this case. So, something specific we are looking for. Describe a time and activity where you really excelled in performing and what feelings you had at that time. Yes? Your looking at me, and I mean, it is now time for you to be connected, at least to your neighbor. We will have 7 minutes for this. I will present to you something which is, in my mind, really one of the important the next session, I will teach you about your Dharma house, how to construct a place for you in your life so that you are living in Dharma, and then that very important last session comes. Our Siam Gopal has good